The title of my message is The S-Man, taken from the book of Isaiah chapter 40. The reason I've used the term S-Man is because there are four key words with the alphabet S. And I've used this image down here more as a visual communicator than anything else. S-Man is the man in Isaiah 40, a man who is going through difficulties, distresses, and challenges, where the norm of what we are used to is taken away. He's the man who wants to be steadfast in God. And I believe that is relevant and something that we can say that is applies to me. Before we go to Isaiah 40, I would like to summarize chapter 38 and 39 as they provide context and background to chapter 40. In chapter 38, King Hezekiah has been stricken with a terminal illness. And Isaiah comes and tells him, "This is what the Lord says. Give instruction to your household, for you are about to die. You will not get well." What a disturbing message. King Hezekiah then prays and pleads with God. And the miracle was that God relented and gave him another 15 years to live. Moving then to chapter 39, we have the account of Babylonian envoys who came, bringing presents to Hezekiah after hearing that he had recovered from an illness. Hezekiah was so touched that he showed these envoys everything in the kingdom, including all the military resources. When Isaiah found out, he came and told Hezekiah that in the days to come, Babylon will come and take away all their assets away, including all his descendants. Hezekiah's response to this prophecy is totally at odds with the previous chapter. He says, "The word of the Lord, which you have announced, is appropriate." Then he thought, "For there will be peace and stability during my lifetime." Isaiah 40 then takes us into the prophecy of the Babylonian captivity and God's message to the people during the captivity. The verses deal with the Babylonian captivity, the return of the people, and it also includes the prophecy of the coming of Christ. From a time perspective, we can see how the scriptures are relevant to us today. Historically, it can be applied during that Babylonian captivity and in the first coming of Jesus Christ for us to learn how God's ways are for his people. But more so, I want to focus on this part, is for us as believers in this time period, preparing for the second coming of Christ, be it in our lifetime or in succeeding generations. There are four key points. The first one is be strengthened. Be strengthened. Isaiah 40 verses 1 to 2 says, "Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry out for her, to her." God cares for his people and knows the difficulties that we go through. Comfort, this word can convey to us many different things. It can talk to us about consoling, and sometimes we have this picture of a mother soothing a baby who is crying. However, I would like to concentrate on the aspect of comfort where we will be looking at is in terms of strengthening the person as the person is going through the situation. Most of us would prefer not to have to go through distressing times, tough situations. Yet this is not always the way with God. In John chapter 22, 31 to 32, Jesus told Peter that Satan had asked for him and that Satan would sift Peter as with wheat. Now, the first step about sifting wheat is threshing. The wheat is laid on the surface, on the stone surface, and beaten until the chaff is removed. Second step is winnowing. The grain is thrown into the air so that the lighter chaff is blown away. Imagine yourself as the wheat. Imagine how you'll be like to be going through blows will be rained on you. Blows will be rained on me until all the necessary parts are taken off. Then toss, I'll be like tossed into the wind so that those parts are blown away. We may well pray to God that this does not happen to us. But what does Jesus say to Peter? He says, I have given Satan permission. And his confirming words were, I have prepared for you that your faith, I have prayed for you, sorry, that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. To be strengthened was not just for Peter's sake. To be strengthened was so that he could strengthen others. There's a saying in Australia during this time, together we will get through this. For New Testament believers, we have been given the Holy Spirit, Counselor, Comforter. He will comfort, strengthen us when we seek Him. He will remind us of the Word of God and make it alive in us. He will take us through and make faith in us stronger so that through our faith, we can strengthen others. The second S I will take you through is the word shout. 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 There are two shouts in Isaiah 40. Now let's look at the first shout. Isaiah 40 verse 3 to 4 in the contemporary English version says, someone is shouting, clear a path in the desert, make a straight road for the Lord our God. This has been ascribed to John the Baptist, a man sent from God. John the Baptist was the voice in the wilderness who prepared the way for Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming again. There is still the voice crying for people to prepare for his coming. When Jesus comes this time, he will be seen by the whole earth. Previously, it was a few people preparing for his coming at one locality. Now, it is going to be shown worldwide. In every generation, until Jesus comes, the believers worldwide have the mandate to prepare for him. In Luke chapter 17, 26 to 36, Jesus compares his coming to the same as that which happened in the time of Noah and Lot. People will be eating, drinking, getting married, buying, selling, working, and then it happens. The Son of God will be revealed. It says, two persons in a bed, that is, two persons with a close relationship. One will be taken and the other left behind. Two persons grinding together, that is, working alongside each other. One will be taken, one will be left behind. Two persons out there in the field, that is, people we know out in our neighborhood and community. One will be taken and the other left behind. We know that this refers to those who are saved and those who have chosen not to have Jesus Christ. Selfishly, when I first read this passage, my focus was that I will be the one taken up and not left behind. But since then, I have another perspective. A few years ago, a work colleague of mine committed suicide. On that day, he sent an email out at 5 p.m. to a number of work colleagues. And that's the time when most of us would have gone home. The email detailed what he intended to do and why, the issues that he could not face and overcome. That day I worked late, and reading his email, I panicked. I contacted the company's HR, as well as tried to reach out to him. I called him on his mobile, but no one answered. That night I went to his home. The police and close family members were all trying to find him in time. We tried to figure out where he could be. Sadly, his body was discovered the next day. No one knew he had suicidal intentions, not even his newly married wife. I had worked with him off and on. Depression and suicide. Many were caught by surprise. The key point I want to make is that oftentimes we are not fully aware of the issues people are going through. And I am speaking of people really close to us, close by, people we have some association with. Depression? No way, she's so cheerful. Everyone knows that he is quiet and keeps to himself. But who would think that he would take a gun and use it and shoot people in the schools? He's a church leader for years. I attended his Bible study classes. What made him decide to be an atheist suddenly? They were so loving and happy as a couple. I cannot imagine them living separate lives now. I think you get what I'm trying to say. This is not to say that we start examining people close to us with a magnifying glass. It is to emphasize that we do not take for granted the people that God has placed around us. Let our relationships be meaningful, real, and open. Our aim should be that no one close to us are left behind. Let's look at the second shout. Someone told me to shout in Isaiah 40, verses 6 to 8. It says, someone told me to shout and asked, what should I shout? We humans last no longer than wildflowers. At the Lord's command, flower and grass disappear. And so do we. Flowers and grass fade away. But what our Lord has said will never change. Life is short. The word of God is eternal. Hard as it may be when we have loved ones passing away, the truth is that they did not die of old age, sickness, or accidents. The truth is they have an appointment with God. Delay is God's mercy. Appointment is still there. And if extra time is given, then it's time, still time for us to set in order before going. With these two shouts, we have the outline of a message to the world. For those watching and do not know Jesus, know this, prepare, God is coming. Life is short. We will have to meet him and face the eternal word of God. How can a man be right with God? The word of God says, all have sinned and the result of it is death in the lake of fire. But the good news is that anyone who believes and calls on Jesus Christ to be his Lord and Savior will be saved. This is a gift of God. Contact us and we'll be happy to take you through how to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and continue your life in Christ. Even in times of difficulty that we go through, the need for believers is to shout Jesus to others. And perhaps in shouting, the eternity, whatever we are facing, becomes less of an issue. Let us recap the two S. Be strengthened. And shout. The third S is see our God, Isaiah 40, 10 to 28. Do we really know the God we serve? Our God cares and leads us. Our God is a God who measures his creation. He's not just looking at the big things, he actually goes into the detail. Our God, who can or even dare to give him advice? Every one of us have opinions on how things should be, but do we dare to tell God how to do things? Our God is far bigger than all the nations of the world. There may be powerful countries, rich nations, but there's nothing compared to God. Our God, there's no likeness we can make an image of. Our God, there's no one who's equal to him. Our God is all-powerful, and whatever is happening on the earth is in his hands. Now, there are three questions God is reminding us beyond head knowledge. In Isaiah 40, 21, and in the contemporary English version, it says, don't you know? Haven't you heard? Hasn't it made clear since the time of creation? God is the one who rules the earth. Truly, there is no one equal to him. Let me illustrate why God asked three times to such a simple statement. In the book of Daniel, God revealed himself three times to King Nebuchadnezzar. In Daniel 2, Daniel has a dream. King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream of a statue of a man with different minerals on different parts of the body: gold, silver, bronze, iron, and mixture of clay and iron. Daniel interpreted the dream to King Nebuchadnezzar and said that this represented the nations and that it is God who rules from heaven. In Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar decides, "Oh, I think I'll set up a statue of gold and make everyone worship before it." But Daniel's three friends would not do so, and they were thrown into a fiery furnace. King Nebuchadnezzar witnessed how they were protected. He recognizes and proclaims that the God they serve had saved them. And this command, God demands no worship of any other, even King Nebuchadnezzar. And the third time, in Daniel 4, King Nebuchadnezzar has another dream, and Daniel interprets this for him. It says that while his kingdom is great, he would be cut down and live like a wild animal for 7 years until he truly learns that it is God who controls all earthly kingdoms and chooses their rulers. Daniel tells him to humble himself and be a righteous ruler. He does this for a while, but at the end of 12 months, his pride got the better of him, and so the judgment came on him. And so he was until the 7th year when he prayed to God, he was healed. Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 2, don't you know? Nebuchadnezzar chapter 3, have you not heard? Nebuchadnezzar chapter 4, which part of it is not clear to you? God is the one who rules the earth. And even more so for us believers. I ask myself, don't you know? Haven't you heard? Has it not been made clear from the time of creation who rules the earth? Who rules in your heart? Let us remind ourselves of the three S so far that we have gone through. Be strengthened. Shout, see our God. The fourth S is increase and renew strength. And so we have, for this man, he can run. He has increased strength to run. But before we go out and do great things for God, Isaiah 40 verse 31 say, "But they that wait on God shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall not faint." Many times we feel tired and weary, low energy and strength. Could it be that we are using our own efforts and not drawing from God? There are so many things to do. This is the end of end times. There's no one else to do this. The list goes on. God says, wait on me. There's not much time, God. Wait on me. We are impatient, results-driven. God says, wait. Then we can soar and look from above and run well and not all over the place. How to get more strength? Bible tells us to wait on God. Perhaps it is during this COVID-19 movement restriction that we begin to learn what it means to wait. Be strengthened. Shout, see our God, increase and renew strength. I will finish off by using these key points in the life of Hezekiah and Isaiah. First, with Hezekiah, he was strengthened when he was given an additional 15 years. But it's not clear how he used those 15 years to strengthen the next generation. His son, Manasseh, was an evil king, undoing many good things that Hezekiah did. Shout! Hezekiah may have prepared to meet God himself, but not evident on how he has done it for his descendants. See, our God. Hezekiah knew that, and again, but it's not clear if he did share it even with the Babylonian envoys instead of showing him the rest of the kingdom. Increase and renew strength. If Ezekiah had waited on the God, on Lord, he would not have shown everything to the Babylonians. And also knowing the consequences of his mistake, his only response was that there will be peace in my days, instead of how can I transfer this knowledge and strength for the generation that will experience captivity. And what of Isaiah? As a prophet, he went through the ups and downs with kings and people. He was not always accepted and popular with the messages that God gave him to release. His prophecies point to the coming of Jesus. He completed all 66 chapters. Jewish references point to his tragic death through the order of King Hezekiah's son, Manasseh. Can you remember the four S? Be strengthened. Shout. See our God. Increase and renew strength. Let us be the S man for God. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that even in this time of things that we are going through, we will truly be the S man, as in Isaiah chapter 40. We will be the people who will be strengthened. And in strengthening, we will strengthen one another. We will be the people who will shout, prepare the way of God. I will be prepared to meet God. We will be the one who will shout and say, time is short, life is short, eternity is real. God is coming. The word of God stands eternal. We'll be the one who will say, see, our God reigns. Not nations, not events, not anything. It is God who reigns and rules. We will be the people who will say, I will wait on God. And then God will release his strength each to me each day, that I will be able to run and soar like the eagle, to see from on high, not from down below. And that way I will know how to run. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak the life of Christ, the strength of Christ, the strength and the comfort of the Holy Spirit be upon your people. God, that you will bless them, you will keep them, you will give them grace, you will give them favor, you will give the peace, the wholeness of Christ into them at this hour and for every day from this day forth. I thank you. We bless you, O Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.